My guest at this time is terrorism expert Dr. Harvey Kushner. He's director of the Terrorism and Homeland Security Institute at Long Island University. We've asked him to comment on some of the concerns coming out of the investigation into the San Bernardino terrorist attack. And Dr. Kushner, thanks very much for being with us.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
One of the things we have heard about, obviously, is the ability of the wife, Tashfeen Malik, to get into this country through a spousal visa program. And the president mentioned in his address Sunday night that perhaps this program needs some more scrutiny. No red flags raised there. Farouk was not on the terrorism watch list or anything like that. So first of all, from a government to screening perspective, what is being done and what should be done better?
Let's face it, we have a major problem. We have so many people who are radicalized through the internet, through friends, through mosques, through foreign elements. And our watch list is quite large. There are a variety of different watch lists for aviation and for others. And let's face it, how does any intelligence agency get everyone listed on a watch list? It's nearly impossible. We've been very fortunate that we've been able to stop many attacks and arrest people who were on a watch list and became suspicious, and we're probably planning something. But to be able to tell you that we're going to reach a stage in which we're going to be able to have everyone monitored who is suspect or potential suspect can't happen.
How do we improve our ability to track those who are communicating online? We know that this woman pledged her allegiance to ISIS through a Facebook account that was using an alias. We know that sometimes people communicate on systems like the Nintendo Wii, which is very hard to track from outside. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a secure system. So how do we crack that?
Well, that's another issue. We certainly have to monitor all these social media sites and scrub them and constantly try to drop in to hear what chatter is going on. But again, they're embedded statements in these sites, and as you said, with we and others, it's nearly impossible to have a complete control of the internet and other social media and other cyber communications. It's a dauntless task. There are billions of communications which takes place on a daily basis. One way I think to tackle this is for the private sector to be more involved, not just with the government, but the private sector needs to have some more controls out there in which they work hand in hand with law enforcement and intelligence gathering agencies to allow them to be able to get into some of these sites. Because as you know, a lot of private facilities are encrypting their sites because they don't want people to be able to get in there and to share information. But therein lies the problem. An expanding technology and ever-increasing communications in cyberspace leaves just a tremendous problem for intelligence gathering agencies and law enforcement in general.
One of the things we've also heard in the wake of the attack is people, at least a couple of people that I'm aware of, regretting that they didn't do something prior to the attack because they had some concerns and suspicions. You've got the father of the male terrorist saying that he was a supporter of the ideology of ISIS leader al-Baghdadi, that he was obsessed with Israel. You have got the neighbor who says that he saw suspicious activities but didn't want to be considered Islamophobic if nothing was going on. So how big of a problem is this on the larger scale?
Well, that's a huge problem and something that our government can address. We sort of created an atmosphere over since 9/11 in which if you get on there and you see something, say something, people become concerned that they're going to be labeled a racist. We saw it in the recent attack in which a neighbor said they saw some suspicious activity, but were afraid to report it in fear of becoming labeled a racist. Well, that's political correctness gone wild. And quite frankly, I think our government has contributed to that in tremendous ways. For example, since the Obama administration, trainers who wanted to talk about jihad or use Islamic terrorism in the same sentence can't do that. So the government has set sort of a standard in which they say you can't issue the term even Islamic terrorism. And unfortunately, there are other groups out there, like the Council of American Islamic Relations, who put a damper on things, who've lobbied to stop people from saying something. And we need the help of the Islamic community, because the Islamic community are really the ones who could tell people who are becoming radicalized. But yet the tone out there is that if you say something, you possibly have some liability out there, but either to be name-called or to be marginalized as a racist. But I think that needs to change. And you know what? I think it will. I think after this event and the event in Paris, and even the shooting down of the Russian airplane, I think people are beginning to realize that political correctness is harming national security. And I think that I would hope that would loosen up, and I would hope that the administration would lend a hand in that. And quite frankly, they continue to do that. The Attorney General, Lynch, said the other day that she was more concerned with prosecuting people who would hate speech against people of Islamic background. Certainly nobody wants hate speech. But for the Attorney General to say that that was on her plate as her agenda, as well as the mayor of New York City, de Blasio, making a similar type of statement, I think that sets a tone in which you're going to have people who are going to see things and are not going to report.
Let me get your thoughts also, Dr. Kushner. We're talking with Dr. Harvey Kushner, director of the Terrorism and Homeland Security Institute at Long Island University, about something that happened on Friday. It appears that law enforcement, particularly the FBI, was done investigating and going through the apartment of these two terrorists. And all of a sudden, with perhaps permission from the landlord, the media stormed this apartment, going live with and picking up and walking through and touching all sorts of different things in the apartment. Some say, look, the investigation's done, no harm, no foul. Others say, well, if there's any reason you would ever need to go back, it's now a basically worthless scene. So what did you make of that?
I was shocked. I was literally shocked at how that opened up. I know the FBI probably scrubbed as much information out of there and took out what they needed. But as you've seen, when you've seen pictures all over the media, there was other receipts and documents and other paraphernalia in the household that, you're right, at a later date, they might have wanted to come back maybe a week or even less and revisit that. And now it's compromised and destroyed. I found that disturbing and bizarre. You know, it wasn't against the law. The landlord, I guess, had a right to allow people in. The Bureau said that they were through with the scene. But I've never seen anything like that, and especially on such a high-profile case. I can't explain it other than to say that it was a perfect storm of stupidity.
And finally, sir, the president, of course, addressed the nation on Sunday night. Much of what he said was that we've got a good plan in place. We're intensifying our efforts in some of these areas, especially in collaboration with our allies and in trying to thwart terrorist plots and so forth. But when it comes to defeating ISIS, we've got the right plan in place, and it's just a matter of executing it. What did you make of that, and what other advice do you have for him?
Well, I don't think he said anything new, and certainly the plan isn't working, because prior to Thanksgiving, he said everything was under control. And we could go back and say statements about what he said about ISIS in the prior time. I think the president missed a 2 minutes. He was there. At least he addressed the public, but he certainly didn't tamp down any fears that the public has. And he certainly hasn't said anything new in terms of the strategy for fighting ISIS or ISIL or even Al-Qaeda. And quite frankly, I think he moved quickly to associate this with some gun control, which I think is bogus, by saying that people on a no-fly list shouldn't be able to get guns. Well, these two individuals were certainly not on a no-fly list, and they were able to get guns. And clearly they got guns in a state which probably has the most restrictive gun laws in the state of California. I don't think he laid out any particular plan. He certainly didn't mention if he was going to use more boots on the ground, what they might be and how they might work. I think there's nothing new. I think it's too little, too late. And quite frankly, I think the president is looking for his legacy and wants to lay back and pass on the problem of ISIL and ISIS and their expansion to the next incoming administration. And I think the people who suffer for that is the American public.
Dr. Kushner, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
As always, thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Harvey Kushner is a terrorism expert. He's the director of the Terrorism and Homeland Security Institute at Long Island University. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.